All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I am joined with by a teacher of the year, Miriam Fisher. So Dr. Jim Berry recommended I speak with you, Miriam, about all the stuff that you're doing there. And we were talking for just a minute beforehand, and you're teaching about like 5 different classes all day, and you're a full-time athletic trainer as well. And you were recently awarded Teacher of the Year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's
so
correct.
So to me, being teaching all those classes and then doing full-time athletic training is almost in itself worthy of being full-time or being Teacher of the Year. But why don't you tell me a little bit about what your schedule looks like, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good. I do get in extra early because of all of my after-school obligations. So I do teach full time. We have a block schedule, 90-minute classes. So I teach 3 classes each semester with a planning period. I can teach anywhere from 2 preps to 5 preps. I've had classes within classes. So I teach Sports Med 1, Sports Med 2, Health Science 1, 2, 3, medical terminology. We have a health science internship where they go out and they shadow professionals in the community. We've had kids go to veterinarian offices, orthopedic offices, physical therapy, surgical centers, dental offices, whatever kind of their interest is, we tailor it to them. And then we also have the sports medicine internship, which is obviously after school. So we take about 6 kids each semester, and they come and they help us with hydration, you know, setting up coolers and the game readies. They're with us on the sidelines. They travel with us, games, things like that. And then at 3:15, when my day is over teaching, that's when I hop right next door to the training room, and I'm there till sports are done for the day.
All right, so at your school, you're the only athletic trainer?
There are 3 of us. We're very fortunate.
Okay.
So there is an athletic trainer who he teaches 1 class, and then he does athletic training full-time. And then we have a full-time just athletic trainer. He's new to the school district. This is his 2nd year now. We actually fought really hard for, we have 9 schools in our district, and 8 of them were fortunate. We did a lot of work to push to get a full-time just athletic trainer in those schools. So he was one that came down with that. And then I teach full-time and do the athletic training.
Gotcha. All right, so that's a really cool situation. How long have you been doing the teaching the classes?
This is my 12th year, going into 12 years.
All right, so in those 12 years, what did it look like when you first got there? Like, because like you said, there was about 5 different classes. There's kids doing all sorts of really cool things. And that's the most amazing thing about, like, the health part of high school education is you can really give these kids an opportunity. You know, like, I have physical therapists coming in and surgeons coming in and doing the podcast while my kids are there, and they have an opportunity to talk to those professionals. But you're sending them out into the workplace to see. So what did it look like before you got there?
I started at a different high school, and they had no program whatsoever. So I kind of started building that one up, and then I switched to the school I'm at now 2 years in. And now the school I was at has built it and done really well. They do very similar things to what we do, you know, within the same district. So when I started at the school I'm at now, St. James, it was just the 1 teacher teaching 1 class a day. So there really wasn't a program. So I was brought in to help build the, because there was an interest, but we didn't have the resources and the faculty to support the program. So my job was to build it, and it's huge now. We had to hire a 3rd health science teacher to kind of help take over some of the load, because we had huge numbers of students. So I've kind of taken it, I use a lot of technology in my classroom, so that helps build the interest and stuff too. Obviously we try to do more hands-on things. Mm-hmm. So not just the taping and that kind of stuff. I mean, I have them, one of the things I did with my Sports Med 1 last year was they created a virtual athletic training room tour. So instead of just learning the different areas of the training room and talking about what equipment's in there and what it's for, they made an interactive PowerPoint and made YouTube videos that were linked in that they created to kind of talk about, explore. So the kids like doing that kind of stuff. So that's what keeps the interest up.
You know, I saw there was somebody that used Minecraft to build an athletic training room for some project similar to what you're saying. And so, I mean, that's super creative, and it's a very good excuse. Yeah, hey, yeah, mom, dad, I'm doing my homework playing Minecraft. So.
Yeah.
All right, so you've been building up this program for 10 years, and again, mm-hmm. you're teaching about 5 different classes mm-hmm. At any given time, and you're one of 3 athletic trainers that's full-time at the high school. So you were selected as Teacher of the Year. Tell me a little bit about that process what you had to do, I guess, because you didn't apply.
No.
I don't know if they asked your...
It was a tremendous honor. I made it pretty far. We have levels of Teacher of the Year, and I made it as a finalist out of 3,000 teachers. So, I mean, it was a process, but the best part of it was just getting the initial building level Teacher of the Year, because you're nominated by your peers, by the students, by the parents as well. So that was just a tremendous honor, because we're athletic trainers. We're behind the scenes people. We don't do it for the glory. We don't want to be front and center. So for people to recognize she works her tail off, you know, she's there 14 hours a day, and, you know, she knows these kids, she's in it for the kids, like that was the biggest honor for me. So once I got that, I had to, write six essays to get to top 10 teacher, a semifinalist, and then I had to do a 45-minute interview with a panel of 17 people throughout the district, and I had to write three more essays to make it as a finalist, and then I had to do 10 days of observations of people from the district coming in and observing all my classes and talking to the kids. It was a lot of work, but, I mean, I enjoyed it just because it made me reflect and think of what I did to get to that point and how hard I have worked. And it was nice being recognized for all that. So that was pretty cool.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the 10 days of observation. So was that just, all right, so sometime over the next 10 days, there's going to be somebody walking in and out of your class, or, all right, we're going to schedule to come first period one day, second period the next day?
It was all surprise. So it was kind of an open window and all the judges had to come in. I had an extra surprise visit where the superintendent came in too. Unfortunately, they were really engaged and they made me look good. So the students made it easy for me. So I never knew when they were coming. And I know I was teaching four different classes that semester that they came in. So I had lesson plans all over the place. It was a mess. But, yeah, it was surprise visits.
That is so cool. I mean, obviously what you're doing for the kids, but then really what you're doing for athletic trainers also, because mm-hmm. you're saying, you know, I'm able to do all this. And then I assume you're willing to share that information. Somebody says, hey, Miriam, how did you do that virtual athletic training? You just send them over the PowerPoint or your instructions and say, this is what I did. This is how I make it work. But, again, you were talking about the kids were really well behaved on that 10 days, but it's not that the kids were well behaved, but that you had taught them well how to behave in your expectation. Because, you know, I had the same thing in my class. I'm not an expert, but I'm pretty good at, you know, managing the classroom and having them doing stuff and hands-on, and this is my expectation, and – sometimes they meet it, or most time they meet it, sometimes they don't. And it's just one of those things you have to teach and you have to continually do that.
Right.
And again, it's draining. It's a lot easier for us. You know, we had a Thursday night football game. All right.
Everybody
just sit there, do nothing.
Yep.
Y'all just draw each other pictures or something today. But no, we got a lesson. We got work to do. You know, I'm teaching you CPR today, even though, you know, I didn't get home till one or whatever it is. So it's about just knowing your why, finding that extra level. Now, with being awarded the Teacher of the Year, what came with that? I know you said there was like four different levels. So were you given like scholarships, pictures, dinners?
We had a big banquet at the end, and being a final, that's when they announced the winner. And judges have since told me, they're like, the only reason we didn't pick you as winners because we knew you had a lot on your plate. And we didn't want to add extra responsibility because there's state level stuff you have to do. And
like, what
you
the?
Know, I know. I was like, busy multitasking, that's my thing. But no. So we had a big banquet. They were very generous. We had gifts from the community, you know, that they gave us. I actually got a free class. So I was getting my master's at the time. So the college gave me a free class. So that was kind of cool. But then I had to serve on, I still have to do it now for 10 years now, different committees and scholarship committees for the district and forums and teacher cabinets and all this stuff. So, I mean, there is extra things I got to do now, but, you know, it's, again, it was an honor and it just felt good to be recognized for the hard work I did. So,
all right. So as far as like outside of the school district, anything as far as the NATA or any athletic training recognition that you've been able to receive or any talks you've been able to give?
No, not as far. This is probably the biggest thing I've done with athletic training. Honestly,
oh, this is huge.
This is huge. Big deal. Made it big time. But no, looking back when I was reflecting on everything, it made me realize I was very heavy on the edge, which I do like teaching. But what I love teaching is the stuff that's important to me. And it's, you know, the kids know I'm honest with it and I'm passionate about it. And that's why I love teaching what I teach, because I give them real world. And then I talk, oh, last night I just had this happen at a game. or, you know, that. So that's pretty cool. But it made me realize that maybe I should start getting into more things through SCADA, you know, the South Carolina Athletic Training Association, and do other things to kind of give back on that aspect too. So.
All right. So if you were to pick one lesson that you feel like is really your, okay, just one of your favorite lessons,
okay,
what do you think is going to be the thing that you're most excited to tell people about, share about, say, hey, this really worked for me, I would like you to try it?
Oh, man. It's a good one.
So while you're thinking, one of the things that I do in teaching CPR is we go over and over and over it, but then I also take them from the classroom, and sometimes we'll go stand in the front office, and we'll do it right there in the front office. We'll do it in the gym. We'll do it outside. You know, that way they're kneeling on concrete, it's hot, there's distraction, there's embarrassment of people around.
Yeah.
You know, even like PE classes going on in the middle, I say, hey, coach, we're coming in here to do CPR today. Just do your normal thing. And so that's one of the cool things that I learned from Dr. Josh Yellen, is get them out of that sterile environment, because they're never, ever going to do it in that environment. And so that's probably not the coolest lesson I do. I think maybe the podcast may be the coolest thing I do, because I do it in class with the kids.
That's awesome.
But that's one of the things that I highly encourage other athletic training or sports medicine educators to do as well. All right. Did you think of something?
I mean, the kids really enjoy, same kind of thing, getting them out of their comfort zone, because then they come back and they're like, I learned the most out of that. So I do. There's this one thing I do with health science too, because they have to learn vital signs and assessment, where I actually have a day. We wear scrubs on Wednesdays. That's our professional dress day in the class. So they're dressed in their scrubs.
Wear pink on Wednesdays, is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So we wear pink on Wednesdays. So scrubs on Wednesdays, but they look professional. They feel good about themselves. But I invite the faculty to come down during their planning, and mm-hmm. they go through a whole health screening of the faculty, and it puts them on the spot, and they're doing it on people who don't know that, oh, you missed a step, so they don't feel as much pressure, but they take it more seriously, because they're doing it on, oh, this is my history teacher, you know, like, oh, the principal came in, so, and they really enjoy that. So same kind of thing, just getting them out of their comfort zone and doing those types of activities. And I do a lot of leaving my classroom. I'm not a book teacher. That's not me at all. So instead of standing up and doing like traditional lecture on a PowerPoint, sometimes I'll just print my slides out, and I'll create either an electronic worksheet, you know, through Google Forms or something. Goose Chase is a really cool app if no one's done that. It's like a scavenger hunt, but it's all on their phone, and you give them tasks, and there's points awarded. So it'd be like, you get 20 points if you text a response to this question, or you get 500 points if you can teach a teacher how to do CPR, or, you know, and videotape it, like different things. So I get them out moving, but I'll put like my PowerPoint slides taped up around the school, and it's like, I call it my walking lecture. So then they go and do like guided notes, basically walking around instead of hearing me do it, and then we review when they get back. So,
right, so
doing that.
It's just goosechase.com?
Yes, goosechase.com. It's a free app. You are limited with the number of games. If you do the free version, you can do up to 3 games during one session. So if you have like the period, so you have 9 classes a day versus like I have the 3, you'd have to break it up, you know, how, when you would do it. But yeah, goosechase.com, really fun. They can even do it out in the community. So I am going to do this year with, you know, with secondary schools, we always kind of promote that with Athletic Training Month, you know, the hashtag mm-hmm. and getting the kids out and doing stuff. So I'm going to do one this year where it's extra credit for them going around and, again, taking pictures or doing videos, teaching people about athletic training, you know, the domains and what Athletic Training Month's all about, to kind of get it out into our community more too.
That's really cool, because actually each year with my students, my sports medicine students, my athletic training student aides, we do a scavenger hunt around the school, and at first it was silly stuff like who scored a touchdown in the game last night. But then I was like, you know what? There's something better. I was like, go find all the AEDs, teach a class
yep.
CPR, teach a class how to do a foam roller, wear a arm splint, or
yep.
tape a teacher's fingers, and that way they're showing their skills, they're showing off, and they're, you know, posting on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always, I haven't figured out a good way to measure or score that, because you're having to like go through each one,
right,
hoping they tagged it correctly. And
right.
some of the kids don't have an open account, so Goose Chase maybe.
It does, and with it's an educational app, so you can actually, there's a report, and you can see who posted what when, and you can do just that child or just that group or how. It's really user friendly. It's awesome for education.
There you go. I see. I'm learning new stuff. All right, so really, I'm excited to try that one out. So Goose Chase,
yes.
What are some of the other educational tools or lessons that you might encourage somebody to look at or do something different?
I do a lot with Google. If anyone wants any of my stuff, I'd be happy to share a Google Drive. You know, it's easy enough to do different things. So I do a lot with, like I said, they've had the interactive PowerPoints. I've done things. I've had where kids make their own first aid videos. So instead of watching the American Heart Association, gets a little boring, you know, that video, they are assigned to, you know, bleeding, or they're assigned splinting, and they have to make their own video of that. So I use a lot of technology that way. Flipgrid is another cool app. I don't know if you've ever done Flipgrid. No. It's and that's free as well for educators. And it's as like a closer, I'll do that. The kids can use their phone, or if your school doesn't let you use phones and they have a tablet or something with a camera on it, they can use it. But and they can even do it as homework. But you just post a question or a discussion point, and they make a real quick video where they answer it. But they don't have to do it in class, which is the kind of cool thing, because some kids are shy and they don't want to. So Flipgrid's another cool thing that I use with that.
One of the things that I've done before, but it's kind of dependent on the area around you, but I've taken kids on a field trip to speak at elementary career days.
Mm-hmm.
And so one year we took foam rollers, took CPR mannequins, and took the backboard. And I'm telling you what, those kids absolutely loved it. They actually wrote thank you cards and drew pictures. You know, these were like kindergartners or third graders.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my kids feel like I don't know, kings, because they're teaching these elementary kids and they're so excited.
Yeah.
But
high
all they're
school
doing,
kids, yay!
Yeah, they're teaching them basic stuff. And so, again, just what you're saying is you've learned it, now teach it to somebody else.
Yep.
So Goose Chase is a really cool app that I'm going to have to try out.
Yep.
You know, we use Kahoot some.
Yep. Quizzes. I like Quizzes better than Kahoot. If you like it, try Quizzes. Because, again, that one, again, they could do it as a homework assignment. They can, you give them the code and they log on. It's very similar to Kahoot. But it's not, because some kids, they just want the competition of it. They're not really reading the question. They just, I want to get it in quick.
Yeah.
So Quizzes, it's still kind of, the points are awarded the same way the faster you answer, but it's not live time with your peers. And at the end, it shows you a scoreboard. So the Quizzes is another free one that's really cool. Try that out.
All right. So some of the other things that, you know, as I think of them, I'll say them too, but some of the things that if someone wants to be Teacher of the Year, one of the things that I use a lot in my classroom is Kagan Cooperative Learning Strategies.
Yes.
And, you know, you're teaching medical terminology. And so one of the things that I would do is on the front of the card, you know, I just make up all these flashcards on the front of the card. It has, you know, humerus on the back. It shows where it says the humerus is the upper arm bone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we'll do inside outside circle. So they're standing with a partner or something. You say, okay, I show you my card, and you have to, I'll say, okay, you have to show me where it is.
Point
or
to it, yep.
Or you have to tell me what it is, something like that. So using Kagan Cooperative Learning, I took it whenever I was teaching biology, and I've used it all the time since, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the biggest difference makers in my class, because, like you said, you get up and you get a move in rather than sit here and lecture.
Yep.
All right, well, here, we haven't gone over this yet, guys. I don't care.
Yep.
Stand up. You have the answer on the back of it. You're going to teach the person in front of you, and then we're going to go over it all at the end. To get out of the classroom today, you're going to have to answer one of these questions, so make sure you're paying attention.
Yep. I use a lot of Kagan with my Health Science 1, because that's the freshman level,
so
I want to get them roped in and keep taking classes. And I do a lot of when they're with partner and one person has the pencil, but they can't write unless the other partner tells them, but the other partner can't touch the pencil, so they can't just take over and be like, let me do all the work. So Kagan can work really well if you implement it the
right
way.
And again, it really helps set that expectation if you do it, because if you set that expectation and say, this is what we're going to do, then those strategies work really well.
Yeah.
And that's why your kids perform so well whenever somebody comes in, because it's natural for them to do well.
And I mean, my kids are great because I'm strict with them, but they know it's because I love them and I have to. And I warn them. I'm like, I'm an athletic trainer. Sometimes I have to leave in the middle of class, you know, if something happened. Like one time I felt bad. One of the judges came to observe me for the Teacher of the Year thing, and a kid got a massive bloody nose in PE right around the corner. And they come to me before they go to the nurse. So they came in, and he's, like, just gushing blood in my classroom. And I looked at the judge. I was like, I hope they're not faint with blood. And I'm, like, you know, gloving up and doing my thing. But the kids are used to that. My students are used to it. And that's why they're just great. They're like, well, she's got to do her thing, you know.
And then they get a real-life experience. They're seeing what you do. They see that you
practicing what
gloves.
I preach, yep.
And that, yeah, that you're not just, okay, well, here, do this. Oh, wait, this is the opposite of everything I told you. So.
Right.
So, yeah, that's really cool. Again, we in our situation are in the gym, so anything that goes on with PE or whatever, we're there. But, you know, we've had band kids pass out, have seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get down here. The nurse is going to take too long.
Yep.
And so it's the same thing. It's, you know, you're there for the whole entire school, but just making that awesome.
Yep.
All right, any other tools, tricks, tips about becoming a teacher of the year like you?
I mean, just come by it honest. And, I mean, we all work hard. That's athletic training. And we all like thinking outside the box. So don't be afraid to try something new and ask questions and, you know, just do what feels good to you. Just because it worked for somebody else doesn't mean it's guaranteed for you. Modify it. Make it your own. So
on that note, I know in the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Facebook group, mm-hmm. we have a combined folder that has sports medicine resources. Kimber Mathis was kind of heading that up there. And I think she's also won Teacher of the Year stuff.
Awesome.
Before, and she does a lot of the same stuff, health science, mm-hmm. And teaching, that kind of thing. So I highly recommend checking that out. Miriam, somebody wants to contact you, pick your brain, ask you to come teach their class for them.
Yeah, I won't do that. I can Skype and do some guest lectures, but you can find, I'm in the secondary athletic training group on Facebook. I've shared some things with people in there before, different lessons. I'd be happy to do that. You can email me at mfisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, at orrycountyschools.net, H-O-R-R-Y, countyschools.net. So you can hit me up there, and I'd be happy to share what I have.
All right. I'm sure there's lots more stuff we could talk, and maybe over the years on the podcast, we'll kind of continue some of these best practice teaching strategies. But Miriam Fisher, Teacher of the Year, I really appreciate you coming on the Sports Medicine Broadcast when we're live here at NATA New Orleans at the Podcast Lounge hosted by Dragonfly Max. Got you hoist water. We got you hooked up with a T-shirt. So, again, it's a pleasure to meet you. And
thank you
congratulations
for having me.
Again.
Thank you.